One of the young people who will be going on the trip, Ryan failed to mention, and we were talking there, is Nolan Miller. He is a friend of the East family, and so he'll also be going on the trip. And then first service, I said I would probably get shot at or because I'm embarrassing somebody, but Joe and I have had Dave and Susan Wechter, who as our guests since Thursday. Dave is part of the 3 Feet Please, actually led the organization for a number of years. He's also been on our prayer list for a brain tumor, and he's back in my office taking a break. He came to the first service. This is Susan back here, and so I don't normally point people out, but I wanted to do that today. They're here from Arizona, and they came for the nice weather. As you can see, the scripture this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 30 through Joshua 18. As we have done in the past, we'll not read that, but the message will come from the bulk of that scripture. And so I hope that you've been reading along with us in preparation for today. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Lord, I thank you that you do speak to us through your word. And so that's what I ask for you to do today. I ask that you will open our hearts up and our minds will be ready to hear what you have to say to us today. We come with a lot of different things on our minds and our hearts, and sometimes it clouds out your voice. And so I pray that just for these 20, 25 minutes that you'll help us to push aside those things and simply focus on you and on your word. As we go through this Old Testament scripture, Lord, would you help us to get over any hesitancy we have when it comes to the Old Testament, but to realize that the same God of the New Testament is the same God of the Old, and he speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us and asks for our obedience. So I pray for wisdom as we study. I pray for us to be encouraged by your word. But also pray, Father, that as we study, that we'll see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Some of you may have heard of a man named Louis Palau, and some of you may not have. Louis Palau was a Latino evangelist. He was the Latino version of Billy Graham. He was not as popular as Mr. Graham, even though he had garnered tons and tons of respect from the religious community, as well as people in general, previous to his dying of lung cancer in March of 2021. The following two stories I want to share with you came from a book that he wrote back in 1991 called Say Yes. And it has sat on my bookshelf probably for that long. I read it years ago, and when I decided calling this Say Yes, I thought, I'm going to check that book out again. So I actually found two stories. One is very short, and one is just a tad bit longer. So I hope that you will just kind of sit back and relax for a moment while I read you these stories. He says, it isn't every day that Natasha, a Soviet journalist, finds herself interviewing a foreigner, let alone a Christian. She has worked hard to achieve her prominent position within the communist youth movement of the Soviet Union. She prides herself in her work as a reporter. But today's assignment was anything but typical. To say the least, Natasha wasn't overly sympathetic to me or the message I was preaching during a 5-city tour of her homeland. I looked at her and I said, "You don't look very happy." And I was rather candid toward the end of our interview. And Natasha answered, "Of course not. We atheists are never happy." Natasha's blunt statement encapsulates the bankruptcy of denying God and biblical revelation. Atheism stifles the soul and kills the spirit. But there's another story he also tells. It's kind of the antithesis of that. It's about a pastor in Leningrad, and it goes something like this. The hunger is captured. And there's a saying here, by the way. Go ahead and put that saying up, honey, if you would, please. There's a saying here that I want you to remember. Augustine once said, "For you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Think that through. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. There are those who are hungering for something. And depending on where they go is where they're going to find the satisfaction for that hunger. Unfortunately, most of them will never find that satisfaction in Christ. And because of that, they'll always be empty. Well, let me read you this story. It's a story of a Baptist pastor in Leningrad. After Mikhail Gorbachev came to power, local Russian officials opened an old Orthodox church building and turned it over to the pastor and his congregation. The facility reminded him of pictures he'd seen of buildings hit during the Nazi Blitzkrieg in World War II. The ornate beauty of the church had long since been obliterated, only the shell remained. One day, while working to fix up the inside of the church, was a crew of Siberian men. The pastor was interrupted by a man off the street. He said, "Is the priest here?" And he said, "Yes, I'm the priest." And there is no English or Russian word for pastor, so everybody who serves like that is a priest. He said, "There are four young ladies outside who want to talk to you." "Well, they'll tell them to come in," the pastor said. He said, "Oh, no, they don't want to come in. They refuse to come in." So the pastor said, "All right, I'll go out and see them." So he walked out to the street where the young women were stood waiting. But when he stretched out his hand to greet them, they all refused the gesture. "Why won't you shake my hand?" And one of them says, "Are you a priest?" And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, we're not worthy to shake your hand." And he said, "Why not?" So she said, "Because we're all prostitutes. And the reason we want to talk to you is to find out if God will ever forgive us for what we've done." And the pastor said, "Of course he'll forgive you." And he took his Bible, he opened it, and told them about the death of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ and how it cleanses us from all sin. And then the one woman said, "But would God ever forgive us for all the wicked things we've done?" And the pastor said, "If you receive Christ and invite him into your life, of course he will forgive you." "Will he forgive us right now?" The pastor said, "Yes, right now." So there on the sidewalk, the four women prayed with him to receive Christ. When they finished, one of the young women said, "Are we forgiven now?" And he said, "Yes. You see, the Bible says your sins and evil deeds will be remembered no more. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from sin, so you're forgiven." And before this, the woman wouldn't even shake his hand. Now they all embraced him. And they said, "May we come into the church?" Now remember, they couldn't come in because they were too dirty. There wasn't much to see, but the pastor gave each young woman a Bible and explained more about what it means to experience God's forgiveness and receive new life in Christ. And Lewis says, "As the pastor told me this story, I was touched again by this fact. Many people gladly embrace the gospel of Christ when they hear it. I find most people are painfully aware of their sinfulness. They're desperate for God's love and forgiveness. And when they hear the gospel and receive Christ, the difference he makes in their lives is amazing for all to see." But I want to piggyback off of that by saying this. There are those who do embrace the gospel, and yet you look around at them, and the last thing they have is joy. They have no joy. They live humdrum lives. There's no excitement whatsoever in their lives when it comes to the gospel or the Christian life. It is my personal belief that they are missing out on too much. Because to me, there is nothing like being a follower of Jesus. And what I want to share with you today is that God presents through Moses some yes challenges. Some challenges he wants his people in Israel to say yes to, but also challenges that he wants me and you to say yes to in this day and age. So let's get started, and let's talk about, first of all, by saying yes to renewing your vows. Now, I'm not going to be talking about renewing your marriage vows, okay? So you can relax on that. That's not what I have in mind. But if you have a Bible, I would like you to open to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and 31. We're going to spend a good part of our time in these two chapters and bring in the others as we go. But I want to start with Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1. What we have here is Moses is giving his swan song. It's kind of like, okay, Moses knows he's dying, he knows he's going to be gone, and he is giving his swan song to all the people of Israel. So verse 1 says, when Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will not cross the Jordan River. But the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord has promised. So what we have here is Moses is telling them, historically, you've been wandering around in this wilderness for 40 years. Your parents made a decision back in Numbers chapter 14 that they would not follow God, but they would rather follow men. And when the 10 spies came back and said, wait a minute, we can't take this land, the bulk of the people said, we'll go along with them. And here was Joshua and Caleb over here saying, we can do it, but they ended up alone. And so for 40 years, they have wandered to the wilderness, and everybody over 20 years old was wiped out before this time. Now Moses is saying, it's time to go into the promised land, and it's time for Joshua to leave you. And he leaves them with two challenges. The first challenge is in verses 4 through 6. He says, don't be afraid. In verse 4, he says, the Lord will destroy the nations living in the land just as he destroyed Sihon and Og. And then you go down to verse 6. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Folks, we can take those words and say, all he's talking about is the people of Israel. But I want you to know that God says those same words to us today. Be strong and courageous. Don't back down. Don't be afraid. Because God's going to go with you in what you need to, and what you need to do. And what God needed them to see, what he wanted them to see, what he needs us to see, and what he wants us to see, is that we cannot do this without him. We cannot do this without him. He wanted the people of Israel to realize that. Don't be afraid. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. We need to understand, as that one song, not I, but Christ in me. We need to realize that is the truth that he wants us to understand, is we cannot win this battle that we face day in and day out by doing it on our own. Only through Christ living in us can we do it. Now, there's a second challenge he wants us to realize, and that is we need to carefully obey. If you go down to verse 9 to verse 13, I'm going to do a little spot reading here. So Moses wrote this entire body of instruction in a book. That's the first five books, the Torah. Okay? And then down to verse 11, you must read this book of instruction to all the people of Israel. Then verse 12, so they may hear this book of instruction and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of this instruction. So God says, I want you to hear the word, which is what Don was talking about. Hear the word, but it's more than just hearing the word. It's obeying the word. And that's what he's trying to get the people of Israel to realize. Sadly, the prediction God makes in verse 16 comes true. Go down to verse 16. He tells Moses, you're about to die and join your ancestors. After you are gone, these people will begin to worship foreign gods. Didn't take them very long. Moses was gone, and they went right back where they came from. But before Moses' final song, we have to backtrack. And I'd like you to go back to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. Because Moses has a final song, he has a final blessing, but he really issues a tough ultimatum in chapter 30. So we're going to backpedal there for just a moment and stay in chapter 30. And as you begin this chapter, the first three words tell you what we need to hear. In the future. So what Moses is telling the people of Israel is, down the road, in the future, when you experience all these blessings and curses I have listed for you, when you're living among all of these people, obey God. Obey God. Verse 6 tells us that the Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants so that you will love him with all your heart and soul and so that you may live. So God issues two ultimatums here. Number one ultimatum is obey God's voice. When you hear God telling you something, your option is very narrow. Obey. Now, you could disregard it if you want to, but that takes you off in a path that you don't want to go on. So he's telling us to obey God's voice. And this is uncannily familiar. If you read verse 10, it says, obey the Lord your God if you do obey his commandments and decrees, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul. That is uncannily familiar to Jesus' words in Matthew 22. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, okay, tell me which one's the greatest commandment. What was Jesus' response? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And this is exactly what God is telling the people of Israel to do, is to love God with all their heart and all their soul. But then there's a second ultimatum, and he gives them a choice between life and death. Verse 15 is pretty blunt. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death. Verse 16, he says, for I command you this day to love God, love the Lord your God, and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. So he gives us the choice. And then you go on down to verse 19. It says, today I have given you the choice between life and death. Every one of us, folks, has a choice between life and death. Will we serve him or will we serve the wrong master? Will we choose life or will we choose death? And we choose life by serving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Okay, but let's move on. And let's talk about saying yes to renewing your spiritual passion. Most of you are familiar with the sinking of the Titanic, I'm sure. It was the unsinkable ship. That's in air quotes. In fact, someone once is reported to have said it was a ship that not even God could sink. They didn't need God. All they needed was an iceberg. But if you follow the story, you would find out that if they had not taken an evasive measure, they probably would not have sunk. Because they would have hit the iceberg head on. They might have, maybe, a couple of the compartments might have shattered, but the ship would have stayed afloat. But when they took the evasive measure to turn the bottom, it exposed the whole bottom of the Titanic, and it just sheared off a hole all the way through. Now, when they took off from port, there, you could say, wow, there was a lot of potential there. You could say there was so much hope and so much promise. But less than 2 or 3 days later, there was needless tragedy. I look at people who live lives of misery. I look at people who claim to be Christians, but they aren't enjoying the Christian life. They're exposing themselves to an iceberg that's going to rip them apart. So here's the question. How can we have our passion renewed? How can we find this love for God and get it back? Renewal is God in action. That is what I'm talking about, is a spiritual renewal. Renewal is God in action, working in and through us. And what happens is that our love is rekindled for him. His word comes alive. You open the word up and suddenly you're going, wow, I didn't know that was in there. That's pretty good stuff. Wow. So he's offering me this hope and this promise. I didn't even know that was in there. But see, that's what happens when your renewal and your passion is rekindled. The word comes alive. So how do we get this? And I hesitate to do this because I don't want to put it down to a formula, but this is the best way I know how to do this, is to make it simple for you then to take stock of your on yourself, okay? So there are going to be four steps on how you can renew your passion for Jesus, your passion for your faith. And like I said, I hesitate doing this, but it's the best way to start. Number one, examine your heart. Examine your heart. And if you have a Bible, we will be looking at some different scriptures. Psalm 139, David writes some powerful words, verses 23 and 24. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." So what David is praying is, "Lord, expose me. Examine my heart." In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, which is a passage that we would have read this past week, or 1:7, I'm sorry, Joshua is told, "Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, from the right or to the left." You see, it's not enough to pretend that we're walking with God. And I know that there are people, and there are times that I try to pretend that I am walking okay with God, but I know that my life is not quite in sync. But there are a lot of people who walk pretending their life is okay with God. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about taking that empty, unfulfilled life, allowing God to examine your heart and to bring you back into a passion with Him. We need to be asking ourselves questions like, am I indulging in things that are damaging to my soul? Am I taking part in things that are pulling me in the wrong direction? Am I allowing things to happen within me that are making me insensitive to sin? That means examining your heart. The second ultimatum is to pinpoint unconfessed sin. Or part of the formula, not the ultimatum. Pinpoint unconfessed sin. I'm going to say this unashamedly. No one is immune to that. No one is immune to unconfessed sin. No one. We tend to think, well, I can hide this from God. Or I can hide this from my spouse or this person I come in contact with over here. But the truth of the matter is, we can't hide anything. Because ultimately, it will come out. Ultimately, our sin will be made known. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He is told, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything that's written." But if you have a Bible, I really need you to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. I like to take it and divide it up into a week-long reading. I just read so many verses and stop. But there are two verses here that I learned when I was a kid that have been hard to forget. Verse 9, it asks a question. How can a young person stay pure? Answer, by obeying your word. So the question is asked and answered in the same verse. And then follow it up with verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what these verses are saying to us is that we need to spend time in the Word, because as the Word moves into our hearts, sin moves out. Let's take a look at what some of the unconfessed sins are that we have. How about this one? Bitterness. Unforgiveness. Ingratitude. Self-absorption. Repeating gossip. Unbelief. Pettiness, a refusal to share, ignoring recurring sins, and on and on and on we go. You see, these are sins that we try to hide from other people. But what needs to happen is we need to allow the Word of God to come into us. And then as it comes in and fills us, these sins are pushed out. And that's what it means to pinpoint unconfessed sin. All right, the third thing we need to do is we need to clean the slate. Clean the slate. Psalm 51. And this is the last chapter we'll be in. So for the next two out of Psalm 51, if you want to turn there. This is the psalm that David wrote after his affair with Bathsheba. And Nathan pointed it out to him and he said, "You're the man." And so David just wept. But I want you to notice what he asked God to do. Verse 2, "Wash me clean from my guilt." Verse 7, "Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Verse 10, "Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a loyal or right spirit within me." Wash me clean. Purify me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Those are all things that we need to do to clean the slate. But now watch what happens. This is number 4. You find your joy. You see, when we are harboring sin, one of the hardest things to do is to have joy. Because we know what we know, and we're afraid people are going to find out about it. So it's hard to have joy. But watch what David says, verse 8. "Give me back my joy again." You see, David, because of his affair with Bathsheba, had lost his joy. He says, "Give me back my joy." And then verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and make me willing to obey you." So David is saying, "God, I have lost the joy that I should have with you. Now that I have repented of this, give this joy back to me. Help me to experience it." And that is not happiness. That is joy. And those are two different things. And so we need to be praying that God will restore our joy. So there's the 4 things. Examine your heart, pinpoint unconfessed sin, clean the slate, and find your joy. Okay, so as I bring this to a close, it is often a fallacy that people say, "Well, now that my heart is right with God, everything's going to be okay." I'm here to tell you, no, it's not. You're going to have ups and downs like you always do. You're going to have moments of victory, and you're going to have moments of defeat. You're going to have moments that are good. You're going to have moments that are bad. So because of that, I want to give you a homework assignment. Now, you're saying, "Wait a second here. It's spring break. I don't want to do homework." That's all the more because you have a little bit of time on your hands. Take Joshua chapter 6 through chapter 9. Make a chart. On one side, put good. On the other side, put bad. And draw a line down. And as you read through Joshua 6 and Joshua 9, find the good things that happen to the people of Israel when they obey God. On the other side, put the bad things that happened to them when they disobeyed. I'll give you a hint. The first good will be Jericho falls. That's because they did exactly as God told them to do. The first bad was they lost the battle to Ai. That's not artificial intelligence, but that's a city. They lost the battle at Ai because of Achan's sin. So that's the bad. Okay, so go through Joshua 6 through Joshua 9. Write down what's good and bad, and you will see that just because your heart is attempting to be right with God does not mean everything's going to be okay. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have the goods and the bads. But I can promise you this. Whether it's good or bad, God has promised you that he will never leave you or forsake you. That he will be with you in the highs, and he's going to be with you in the lows. He's going to be with you when you're cleaning the slate. He's going to be with you when you're looking for joy. He has promised that, and he has never gone back on his word. So I hope that you will see that you can say yes. But the biggest thing you can say yes to is renewing your spiritual passion. And if you are feeling cold, if I could put it that, if your heart is feeling a little cold, maybe it's time for a spiritual investigation. Maybe it's time for you to say, okay, it's time to go back to the drawing board and find out where I'm messed up. The people of Israel were messed up. David messed up. I mess up. You mess up. But it comes back to this word of going back here, saying, okay, God, what is it I need to do? That's my challenge to you this week. Well, let's pray, and then we'll do our saying, and then we'll leave. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Joshua and Moses and the people of Israel as Joshua led them into the promised land, but as Moses left them with words of wisdom and words of warning about following you. But those words are also for us. Help us to remember that we need you. We cannot do this on our own. And as the song said, not I, but Christ in me. Would you please help us, Father, to live our life this week saying, God, I can't do this. I need you. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your presence. And each step that we take may be taken with you. Help us to enjoy this week. Help us to relax, but also, Father, help us to take some time to be with you and to renew our passion and our relationship with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's say our saying together. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Go with him this week. Thanks for being with us today.